Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. When a man in his early 50s presents with high blood pressure or hypertension, doctors automatically think about heart disease and order a battery of further tests. But when a woman of the same age has high blood pressure, even if she reports other symptoms such as palpitations and hot flushes, it is often put down to menopause, and there is a possibility no other tests are ordered. Today we look at why this misconception happens, and more importantly, we look at hypertension in women. Coming up next on Health Suites on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Cardiovascular disease is still the leading cause of death for both men and women, although their risks and their symptoms can differ. A recent report from the European Society of Cardiologists estimated that as many as 50% of women in their 50s develop hypertension, but the symptoms are attributed to menopause or stress. In other words, hypertension can be misdiagnosed, and often is, in middle-aged women. We find out why. Joining me on the phone, Dr. Michael McDonald, Senior Consultant Cardiologist, Harley Street Heart and Vascular Center, Mount Elizabeth Medical Center. Doctor, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Thanks for having me on again.
All right. It is International Women's Day, which is why we're talking about something so common as hypertension being misdiagnosed in women. So let's get right into it. Can premenopausal women develop hypertension and even cardiovascular disease?
Well, yeah, they absolutely can. Women of any age can get hypertension, and it's definitely more common as you get older. But if you look at the age group of 40 to 49, just premenopausal, about 20% of women will have high blood pressure in that group. And then postmenopausal, above the age of 50, it goes up to about 50% of women will have hypertension. And it's not just hypertension, it is cardiovascular disease as well. Women do get a coronary artery disease, and it does happen before the age of 40 or 50. It just doesn't happen quite as soon as men. So often there'll be a delay of maybe 7 to 10 years later women will present with coronary disease. But to be honest with you, I've dealt with young women in their 20s and 30s with heart attacks before, so it does happen, and it shouldn't just be ignored.
Okay, now a lot of us women, even some medical professionals, do believe, and I suppose we are protected from certain things because of the estrogen running through our system prior to menopause. But does that protect us from cardiovascular disease?
Well, you know, it does provide some protection. There's definitely a protection of the arteries by estrogen, but it's not total, and it does not mean that you can't get vascular disease. And when menopause comes along, what happens when you have lower estrogen levels is you start to have reduced vascular function. It affects inflammation, your cholesterol goes up by about 10%, then your blood pressure starts to rise. So having the estrogen around does prevent a lot of these kind of changes that do lead to cardiovascular disease eventually.
All right, so I threw that down the agenda card a little bit at the start of in the intro. but the question is, how does hypertension mimic the symptoms of menopause, which causes it to be misdiagnosed in the first place?
Well, yeah, when people get hypertension initially, the initial symptoms that they get can mimic menopausal symptoms. Now, most hypertension is actually completely asymptomatic, but a proportion of people will get palpitations. They'll get hot flushes, maybe have headaches or chest pain, and all these things can be attributed to menopause as well. So as soon as you present to the GP with these things, they may say, look, this is menopausal symptoms, it's normal, and perhaps not look at the blood pressure with enough detail. But what that means is that hypertension just goes undiagnosed and untreated in this group of patients.
For how long?
Well, yeah, this is the thing. So if somebody ignores the initial blood pressure, saying, look, it's fine, it's just up a little bit, then the question then is, when do they get that blood pressure checked again? And that just means that you've got to ensure that actually you take on the burden of testing your own blood pressure.
Okay, so let's talk about risk. If you go in to your own GP and you say, I'm feeling all these things that you described, and they misdiagnose it as menopause, because you're in that age group, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Your blood pressure isn't that heightened. What are the potential risks of hypertension going undiagnosed?
Yeah, so if you basically what blood pressure does, and high blood pressure, is the higher your blood pressure, the more long-term damage is being done to the arteries, kind of all over the body. So you end up with accelerated vascular disease, and that vascular disease can be strokes or it can be heart attacks, but it can also lead to damage to blood vessels in the eyes and lead to eventually to visual problems. It can lead to damage in the kidneys, which in some cases can lead to long-term dialysis. So blood pressure has the potential to damage pretty much every single organ in the body and lead to incredibly horrible diseases as an endpoint. It takes time to get there, though, so it does take a number of years for it to do its damage. But the problem with high blood pressure is because most of the time there are no symptoms, it's very easy to have high blood pressure that you haven't known about for many years unless you get it checked.
Okay, I suppose the question then is, what causes hypertension?
What causes it? So in most cases, it's what we call primary hypertension, and that basically is we're not really sure what causes it. There's a small group of hypertension called secondary hypertension, which usually has some kind of endocrine-type cause. So they've got maybe some hormonal issue that leads to the high blood pressure. But the primary hypertension that we see is most likely a lifestyle disease. It's related to the fact that we're overweight. It's related to our nutrition's not as good as it should be with lots of processed foods, too much salt. The fact that we all lead very sedentary lives, all these things are kind of driving up the blood pressure and causing hypertension in the population.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my mother suffered from hypertension most of her adult life. And I remember this clearly because every once in a while I'd get a call in school to say I'd have to go home because mom was sick and it would be her a very raised blood pressure. But she wasn't overweight. She didn't smoke. She didn't drink. She looked after herself really well. She was an ICU nurse.
Right.
And she was absolutely not the kind of person that should have had hypertension.
So, I mean, well, either she may well have had
a secret salt addiction.
A big part is genetics. So it's what you inherit from your parents a lot of the time. And you often see families where people tend to get hypertension before the age of 40, and it always runs in families. There's nothing else you can kind of pin on it, nothing else you can see as the cause of the blood pressure other than the family genetics.
Right. So every once in a while, genetics play a part. And then,
oh, definitely.
And then hand in hand goes the lifestyle choices that we make.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. I'm starting to understand that, which might explain why statistics show that younger men are increasingly presenting with cardiovascular disease and even heart attacks. Is that true for women as well?
Well, it is. There's an increasing number of women having heart attacks under the age of 65. So it is a problem. It's not a huge problem with heart attacks in women under 65 compared to men, but a large part of that, I think, is to do with the sedentary lifestyle that we have, the obesity epidemic, and all the diabetes that comes with it.
So then my next question would be, with all this working from home that we're doing and then the stresses on our mental well-being, are you going to start to see more people with hypertension and potentially cardiovascular disease?
Oh, yeah, potentially. I mean, so there's two sides to the working from home. I mean, part of it is you're going to be working from home, you're going to be more sedentary. But the people I've spoken to that are working from home also tell me that they're probably exercising more because they're traveling less, they've got more time. So I guess I'm not sure how it'll play out. Potentially, people may be a bit healthier now they've been working from home for the last year.
Not all of us. Okay, so when we hit a certain age, even women, not just men, but with women, should we start monitoring our blood pressure? Should we be looking at it more seriously?
Yeah, I think so. I tell everyone that we should all have our own blood pressure monitor at home because it's such a simple thing to check. You just have to check your blood pressure when you're relaxed. And you can even just write the number down. You can see what happens to your blood pressure. So I think everyone should check their blood pressure. You should probably check your blood pressure every couple of years in your 20s. But as you get to kind of over 40 or 50, then you should be checking your blood pressure much more often because the tendency is that as you get older, your blood pressure naturally starts to rise. And it really, really is such a simple thing to check. You don't have to do it multiple times a day, just once or twice every week in the morning when you're totally relaxed. that's all you really need to do to keep a track of what's happening with it.
Okay, now we've all seen those blood pressure machines in, you know, pharmacies and what have you, over the counter, even grocery stores, some of them have them. How accurate are they?
Yes, yeah, so some are more accurate than others. So if you're going to buy one for home, number one, get one that's from a reputable manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
Also get one, try not to go for the wrist or the finger ones. They tend to not be as accurate as the cuff for the arms.
For the upper arm.
And if you're a bigger size, then get a bigger cuff, because if you use a cuff that's too small, you won't get accurate readings. So, most of the pharmacies will sell very well validated blood pressure monitors, and there's a lot of good manufacturers out there, and they should come in for less than $100 or a couple hundred dollars or something like that.
Okay, we're talking about patients, both men and women now, in their early 50s onwards, who really should start being more concerned about hypertension. What else, other than maybe starting to monitor their blood pressure at home more regularly, should they be looking for? Should they be looking for?
Yeah, so when it comes to blood pressure, first of all, blood pressure is really, really silent. Most people don't have any symptoms. Despite people thinking you get headaches when you have high blood pressure, usually you don't. But there are a lot of associated conditions with high blood pressure. And number one on that list here in Singapore has to be sleep apnea. It's about 30% of the population has sleep apnea. It's really even more common in people with high blood pressure. And basically, if you snore or you feel really kind of tired during the day or you've got headaches, you should probably consider getting checked to see if you have sleep apnea or not, because it is treatable with the CPAP devices. And the other thing that everyone should look for is diabetes. And you know you're developing diabetes if you start to kind of urinate more frequently, you're feeling quite fatigued. And again, it's something that's checked really easily with a simple blood test. So I guess they're kind of two of the things that you might want to have a think about if you have got, higher blood pressure.
All right. Nothing we can do about our genetics if that is a contributing factor. What else can we do otherwise to reduce a potentially high blood pressure?
Okay, so I'll break it down into different categories. The first one is dietary, so nutritional. And there's a special diet called the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension. And it's a diet that's kind of very similar to Mediterranean style of eating.
There we go, with the nuts fish. Again.
Yeah, lots of nuts, lots of legumes. That's a wonder food. So yeah, it's a DASH diet. It's basically unprocessed food with less salt, and it lowers blood pressure quite dramatically in clinical trials. Second thing is exercise. Even a small amount of exercise lowers blood pressure. Third thing is your weight. For every kilogram that you lose, if you're overweight, your blood pressure drops by about 1 to 2 millimeters of mercury. So those are kind of key things you have to focus on. And then maybe alcohol intake. If you drink too much, your blood pressure goes up. And also affects your sleep, and if you're not sleeping enough, your blood pressure goes up as well. So it's kind of all these kind of common lifestyle factors: nutrition, alcohol, exercise, and diet, and weight loss.
Okay, let's turn specifically to the women. Some of the symptoms might present differently in women, might be obscured because they're also menopausal age. So what should women specifically be looking at if they're suspecting maybe it's not just menopause?
Okay, so if they've got a high blood pressure reading and it's maybe borderline, and perhaps they're worried that they have got high blood pressure, what you can actually do is get something called a 24-hour blood pressure monitor, which will basically take your blood pressure multiple times over the course of 24 hours, and that will give you a very accurate picture of what your blood pressure is doing, and might give you a very, the gold standard of diagnosis for blood pressure, when perhaps people are thinking it's your menopause that's causing the blood pressure rather than it being hypertension. Other things to do is just make sure you get, when you get to menopause, is just make sure you check your glucose, check your blood cholesterol. Your cholesterol does tend to go up as you get older, and when you get to menopause, you also start to become more insulin resistant, so you've got a higher chance of developing diabetes as well. And in terms of lifestyle, just making sure that you're getting the exercise in and just watching your nutrition.
All right. Is there any way we can You know, is there a list of things we can do to absolutely avoid developing high blood pressure?
No.
I kind of figured you'd say that. There's no magical list of things that we can suddenly do. Eat nuts, run 5 kilometers every day. No.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a good statistic, which is basically all these heart attacks and strokes, 80% of them are caused by our lifestyles. So if you're able to make sure you're exercising appropriately and your nutrition is on point from the age of 20, you're going to go a long way to actually preventing all these kind of bad vascular type diseases. But it's difficult to maintain the perfect lifestyle. It's difficult not to kind of stray to McDonald's or whatever sometimes.
Of course. Otherwise, it's not living.
Exactly.
So you're talking about balances, basically, since we can't absolutely avoid it.
Yeah. I try to tell my patients it's kind of 80-20 rules. So try 80% of the time, try and be good and try and make the correct choices.
20% is actually quite generous, Doc.
It is.
All right. Okay. So we've got a better understanding of hypertension, especially for women, because, you know, I'm not there yet, either with the hypertension or the menopause, but I am approaching it. So this was a very useful conversation for my future. We've been speaking with Dr. Michael McDonald, Senior Consultant Cardiologist, Harley Street Heart and Vascular Center, Mount Elizabeth Medical Center. Doctor, thank you so much for the information.
Thanks, Clarissa.
Always a pleasure. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon Euro Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.